Blog Talk Radio.
Cafe. I'm your host for tonight. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with my co-host,
Ms. Jessica.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We have a good show tonight. As everyone knows, we're going to be doing mini psychic readings tonight on the show. And we're also going to have our discussion of the week, as we talked about 2 weeks ago on our last show, which is the fast food restaurants, all of them out there, which one have the healthiest breakfast choices? And I think this may surprise you what some of our nutritionalists have to say, because they kind of went in and investigated each one, and we have some pretty good information. Now, we're going to be taking live callers on the show tonight, so if you're looking to get a psychic reading, please feel free to call in. The number is 323-679-0882. That's 323-679-0882. 877-679-0882. That's our call-in number, so please feel free to call in if you're looking for a mini reading or if you want to make a comment on our topic of the week, or even if you have some advice, go ahead and give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. And by the way, the chat room is now open. It's live, so if you want to ask a question or make a comment, we'll even try to read those live on the air today. So, Jessica, busy couple of weeks, huh?
It has been. It's been a very busy couple of weeks, work and just life. It's been real busy.
Life is always busy, though. I guess it's a good thing, right?
It is a good thing, because otherwise life would be boring.
That's very true. So what have you been doing exciting over the last couple of weeks that you want to tell our listeners about?
Well, actually, about 2 weeks ago, and you were involved in this, we went to St. Augustine.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Jessica and I belong to several what we call paranormal groups. We belong to a group called Into the Light, which is a paranormal group that helps cross over the people caught in what we call the in-betweens. And we also belong to a group called RIP Hunters, which is out of Sanford, Florida, a very active group with a lot of really great people in it. And so we did go to St. Augustine for the weekend.
And we had an awesome time, great time with the RIP Hunters. We had a great time, and just the little sightseeing we did was fun.
Well, the sightseeing was a blast. You know, I had been there many times, and a lot of people, you know, St. Augustine is in Florida. It's supposed to be actually the oldest city in the state of Florida.
Right.
And I think it was, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was something like in 1565, the French or the Spanish came over, right?
And it was definitely Spanish.
It was definitely Spanish, not French. I was thinking of the Huguenots. But and that's where Ponce de Leon came
in,
I think it was 1513 or something. But what I think is really cool about it is there's so much history there. The buildings are really old. The original fort is still standing.
Which is amazing.
It's amazing. It doesn't look like it's falling apart.
Well, no, all that coquina stone apparently holds up over time.
Now, apparently it does. And we got a chance to go to the jail, the old jail, which was kind of an interesting story, because I guess it was Henry Flagler who owned the hotel next to the original jail in St. Augustine, and then he wanted them to move the jail because it was unattractive. And they said, no, sorry. And then he said, okay, here's $10,000. And suddenly they said, well, okay, we'll move the jail. Where would you like it? and so they moved it, and then they made it look like an old kind of Victorian home.
Well, right. I mean, it has a front porch. You would never know it's a jail from the outside.
Yeah, it's really neat. As a matter of fact, if you go to my website, www.drginny.com, and click on the little radio dial that says radio show, you'll be able to see some of the pictures we took of the old jailhouse. But it was cool. I mean, okay, here's the thing that I thought was kind of amazing about the jailhouse. They had people in there. They had, like, the cells were, like, what, 8 by 10?
Oh, yeah. And they said at periods of time they had up to 10 people.
In each cell.
In each cell, which, you know, 4 bunks, 10 people, it's hard to imagine.
It's really hard to imagine. And given the fact that they didn't have any air conditioning and they weren't allowed to use commodes, their commode was a pail, a bucket. And so they would use these buckets, and they were allowed, because they were prisoners, they were given the right to empty them once a week.
Which is the most disgusting thought I can even imagine.
Well, you know, I will say that the smell was probably still there.
Yeah.
A little bit.
After all this time, I bet you it was.
Yeah, without a doubt. The smell was still there. In any event, it was a really, really good trip. And then we went over to, we saw the Huguenot Cemetery, which was really cool. That's, for a lot of people don't know that the, when back in the day, when people, there was a lot of yellow fever going around. And when people would pass away from yellow fever, it was so very contagious. As soon as they passed away, they would try to get them in the ground right away. And so the rich would go into what they called the Huguenot Cemetery, and the ones who couldn't afford it were buried around the cemetery. But they were literally buried just inches from the surface. And two disturbing things about that. Number one, today, when you go there, when we get heavy rains, bones will start to poke through, which is kind of
sad.
Well,
that's kind of creepy.
That's kind of creepy. But that's also where some of the sayings that we use today came from, because it turned out that a lot of the people that were dying from yellow fever were really just in deep comas.
Oh, okay. So you're burying your live.
Well, yes. And so what ends up happening is they would bury them, and they wouldn't be dead. And so to prevent that from happening, they would tie a little string to the deceased or believed deceased person's finger, and then they would connect it to a bell. And then if the person woke up in the coffin, they could ring the bell, and that's where they got the saying, saved by the bell.
Oh.
And they would hire people that would walk the cemetery at night, that's where they came up with another saying called, that two different sayings, they call them the night watchman or the graveyard shift, was the other saying they came up with, but it was just kind of neat. But they say there's not 2 square feet that you can walk on in St. Augustine that doesn't have somebody buried underneath it.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, it's kind of yicky in a way, but
yeah,
kind of neat. I mean, for what we like to do, it's a lot of fun.
It was
really a lot of fun. Well, we're gonna go on to our topic for tonight, and one of the things that that people wrote in 2 weeks ago when we said we're going to talk about this topic, we told them, go ahead and send email in because we want to hear your ideas. If you know some restaurants that you think are good, we want to actually read them on the air, because everybody, you know, in the morning they're rushing out the door. They want some really quick, healthy, nutritional fast food that they can get on the go or grab and go, but they don't want to eat all the nasty calories.
Right.
So we asked for people to write in, and so I'm going to run down to the mailbox real quick and get that out. I know, that's
wow,
so
juvenile. That's a scary mailbox.
I love that. That's so good. Okay, so we've got their emails here. But before I do that, let me just read some of the ones that are on the list. Some of the ones we're going to talk about are McDonald's, IHOP, Panera Bread.
One of my favorites.
One of your favorites, Starbucks. One that I've never heard of, the first one on the list that has supposedly one of the more healthier breakfasts, is called Kosi, COSI, and they're in the Midwest states. I've never heard of them.
Never heard of that either.
No, me either. But, you know, they're supposed to have, according to Christine Gerbstadt, who is the spokesperson for the American Dietetic Association, she said they have a very good-for-you mix of complex carbs, whole grains, protein, and healthy fats. And their number one choice at that restaurant is called the Spinach Florentine Breakfast, and it's 334 calories, 24 grams of protein, but 21 grams of fat.
That doesn't sound too dietetic.
No, it seems
a little 300 calories is not bad.
Well, it's not, yeah, but that's a lot of fat. That seems like a fat, pretty high fat.
Right,
content,
right.
You know?
But for it's probably a great taste.
It might be. I've never heard of the restaurant.
I never have either.
But the next one is one everybody's heard of, and we've all gone to because we pay way too much for a cup of coffee there, Starbucks.
Starbucks. Okay. I love Starbucks.
Number two on the list. It's called the Protein Artesian Snack Plate. And what they like about that is they say you get hard-boiled eggs, cheddar cheese and apple slices, muesli bread. What is muesli?
Muesli, I don't know. Sounds strange.
It's like a grainy cereal type thing, I think. Grapes, honey, peanut butter, and that rings in at 370 calories, 13 grams of protein, and 19 grams of fat.
That's not bad, and it sounds tasty.
Yeah, it does. It does sound better. And then my children's favorite, Jamba Juice, which is really, it's almost like a yogurt. It is a yogurt drink. And they love those kind of, anything that's like a smoothie, you know, because I think it's easy. But they say that's packed with strawberries, blueberries, bananas, 300 calories, 9 grams of protein, and only 4.5 grams of fat.
That's nice and low.
The right balance, you know. Go ahead and read one of the lists that came in from the caller there, because from the email, because you had one.
Yeah, I have Mary from Wisconsin wrote, I love Dunkin' Donuts, especially the donuts, which I agree with Mary. I love those donuts. They have a new breakfast called a bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, which sounds great. Are they really dietetic? That's a very good question.
Bacon, egg, and cheese. Let me check it out. I'm going to Google real quick. And this is Mary, you said?
Mary from Wisconsin.
Okay. And here it is. Okay. Well, Mary from Wisconsin, there's 530 calories in that, which is kind of high.
A lot.
That's a lot. But there is 29 grams of protein, which is a lot of protein.
That's good.
19 grams of fat.
That is fattening.
That is fattening. So with the calorie count and then the fat grams, I'd say it's probably not your best choice.
Right.
You might want to listen to some of the other choices that we're going to be reading to you today. Don't forget to call in. Our call-in line is open. We've got several people on the line right now, I can see, and that is 323-679-0882, 323-679-0882. 8882, and that's if you want a mini reading or if you have a comment to make about our topic for today, which is where you can get a quick grab-and-go breakfast food. And so right now we're going to step away for 1 second. We'll be back in 2.2. Back live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny, and we're going to go ahead and take our first caller now. It looks like we have Gabriel. Is that correct? Let's try that again. Do we have Gabriel? This is
yeah,
Dr. Ginny. Are you on the line?
Can you hear me?
Hi, Gabriel. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. What can I help you with this evening?
I was wondering... when you see me getting a job, and if you have any idea what it looks like I'll be doing.
When do I think you'll be getting a job, and do I have any idea of what you will be doing when you do get employed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, let me start with this, Gabriel. The first thing I'm going to tell you is that I can see that you've been, from what I can tell, you've been looking for a job, but it's been kind of rough going for you. And I know finances are a little tight, and from what I can see here, somebody's been riding you a little bit about your finances. Is that true?
Well,
giving you a little bit of a hard time?
Yeah, well, I got some debt. I got some medical bills to pay and and a loan, so, yeah.
Okay. Well, the one thing I have to tell you is that the job that you've been currently looking for, are you looking for something in your career, in your field?
No, I'm probably going to be starting completely over. I have no idea what it is I will be doing. My past, I've been working in like restaurant and restaurant equipment, stuff like that, and I want nothing to do with that anymore.
Good.
So I'm hoping that's not coming.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that the field that you were in is really not the field that you should continue in. That's why I said I feel like you're going to be going looking for something in a new direction, a new field. And the one thing that I can tell you is I'm being shown higher education. So what that generally means to me is, have you thought about at least considered the option of going to school part-time in some type of new training for a new career?
I did. I was going to school in the past, and I stopped going because I had a bad experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go back to school, so that, you know, I just didn't know if it was going to happen or not. I was kind of, you know, weighing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I want to, I guess.
Well, I think you want to, but I think you've got a couple of barriers that you're seeing in front of you. One is the financial aspect of going back to school, and the other is how to work school with a job. But what I'm being shown is that you're supposed to go in the direction in the field that you're interested in, and then I see that you're going to be able to take some night classes to start out with, okay? And then later that can evolve into something else. So the question is, when do I see you getting a job? I see that you're going to get a job towards the end of June, the beginning of July, okay? That's this current year. And I do see that you are going to be, like I said, changing what you were doing completely. I mean, the new thing that you want to do has absolutely nothing to do with the thing that you were doing before.
Okay.
And I do see that you're going to have the opportunity for continuing education, and you do need to take advantage of that because that's how you're going to move ahead. So it's going to be a slow process, but as long as you stick with it. And the other thing I have to tell you, the bad experience you had with school before was based on some things that were going on in your life at that time. And those things are no longer going on in your life, so your experience should be a lot better now.
Okay. Yeah,
okay?
I really worried about that. I worried about that. I thought it would be the same experience. And this was pretty bad. It knocked me down. So that has been a worry of mine. So thank you for that.
You're very, very welcome. I think you'll do fine. Just remember, you're not going to allow, and you know what I'm talking about, you're not going to allow that to enter back into your life, so you're not going to allow it to control anything that goes on. So it's going to be okay. So don't worry about that aspect of it, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Listen, you're so welcome. Thanks for calling in. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Well, that was nice. Nice young man.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Calling in from the
like
West
gave
Coast.
Great advice.
Yeah, very, very good. I see that we've got a lot of callers on the line right now, so I'm going to go ahead and take another live caller, and I believe this is Susie that's calling in now. Hello, Susie. You're live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. How can I help you tonight?
Hi, Dr. Ginny. First of all, I want to tell you that I thank you for being such a blessing to many people.
Oh, you're sweet.
People
thank
that have gone and gone before us and people that need you now.
God bless you, sweetie. What's going on? How can I help you now?
Today I was particularly frustrated with, and this happens quite often in the last year or so, I've been very frustrated with the circle of people in my life, and some of the people I can't help because it's family.
Right.
And I've taken some steps to introduce myself into other circle of people.
Which
And and actually, I just really need to wind things up and finish up on school so I can move on with my life.
Yeah.
And I want to see what you see of changes.
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is that, you know, a lot of times, and this might seem like a cold thing to say, but a lot of times with family, we can't choose our family, you know, and that's
sure
the reality. And so sometimes certain family members are great for us, and other times they're less than stellar. And it's okay to acknowledge to yourself that a particular person, whether they be in your family or outside your family, is not the healthiest person for you to be around. And maybe that doesn't mean you cut them out of your life completely, but what it may mean sometimes is that you limit your exposure to them. And that's okay. Okay, so know that that's okay, because I sense there's some guilt sometimes going on with that a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, okay. A lot.
Yeah, and it's okay. We can't pick and choose our family members, and I also kind of sense a little bit that you get taken advantage of a lot by family members. Is this correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, all right. So,
especially by my daughter.
Okay, all right. When children take advantage of us or try to take advantage of us, it's generally for one of three reasons. They're looking for attention. And they're really hoping that you're going to put your foot down. They may not like it, and they may not act like they're thrilled with it, but underneath it all, what they see when you put your foot down, when you make them be responsible, when you set limits, you're saying, I love you, and I care enough to go out of the way to enforce these rules that I've set. And it's the most difficult thing in the world, especially, you know, in a society where we have, you know, everybody's working, everybody's trying to earn an income. We've got financial, you know, stresses. We've got personal stresses and issues. And then when we have to be there for our children and we have to enforce certain things, it's not always the easiest thing to do. But the reality is by enforcing them, you're letting them know you love them. And again, even though they don't express it, they do know that you love them when you do that. So if your daughter is testing the waters a little bit, know that by holding firm, you're sending her the very best message that you can be sending. Does that fit this scenario, do you think?
It does, but I have to deal with her dad and his opinions and his ideas of what he feels is right and wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
And since he is doing the supporting, he has a lot of the say in what happens with her.
And I'm sensing Dad does not live in the household. As a matter of fact, he lives some distance away. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so what we have is what I call a non-united front in raising your daughter. Now,
absolutely.
Okay. And that, first of all, we know that makes it hard. And I don't doubt that when you were together, was the front also non-united?
Right.
Okay. Which probably didn't help the marriage any at that time either, correct? And you're currently separated or divorced from this man?
Divorced.
Okay. What I can tell you is that holding firm to your values, speaking the truth to your daughter, you'll hear me say this a million times, speak the truth with love and integrity and your message will be received the way it's intended. A person may not be thrilled with what you have to say because sometimes honesty hurts, but in your case, since you're the parent that's present, you're going to need to take advantage of the situation, and by taking advantage, I mean you're going to have to take control. You have to put yourself in the driver's seat because
okay.
I'm sensing that she's been kind of taking control and running the household a little bit. Is that true?
Very true.
Okay. All right. So you
she's
need
taking
to set
advantage
your
of the divorce situation.
Well, and that happens, and that brings on a whole other slew of a lot of times when people get divorced, there's the whole guilt issue. doesn't matter whether the divorce was your fault, his fault, both your faults. The point is it doesn't really matter. But a lot of times children of divorced parents get away with murder because the parent that they're living with has that guilt feeling. I'm guilty that you no longer have two parents. I'm guilty that you no longer have the income coming in that we used to have coming in, so we can no longer take trips and buy all the clothes we used to buy. And so that guilt starts to build up, and then before you know it, you're giving in here and giving in there. And remember this, you don't have to feel guilty for providing room and board for your daughter. The only thing you could ever feel guilty about, because hindsight's 20/20, so 10 years from now, when you look back, all you want to know is that you provided every reasonable parenting skill and trait that you could for her. So in other words, you did what you could to raise her right. Whether you got her the greatest prom dress that you could have gotten isn't part of the issue. Whether you were able to take that trip to the cruise isn't important. What's important is that you made sure you were there when she left at night and when she came home at night. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So don't worry about the guilt feelings that goes with that. Just make sure that you put yourself back in the driver's seat, because if she's calling the shots, you can't guide the ship in the direction it needs to go.
Right.
Okay? All righty?
Okay.
Does that help?
Okay, now, yes, it does. Do you see me having a different set of circumstances in my future, different set of people involved in my life, and because I really need to make that change?
I want to ask you a question. I'm seeing that December, the end of this year, December, that there's going to be some changes in your. Are you going to school now?
Yes.
Okay, so are you going to be graduating in December?
I'm not really sure if I'll be finished up by then.
Okay.
It depends on what classes they offer.
Okay. The thing that I'm seeing is that December is going to be a pivotal point for you, because I see new beginnings in December. But I don't see that as far as relationship-wise. I see that as far as opportunities with employment. Okay.
Okay.
So I see December is going to be pivotal for that. What I'm sensing for your love life, actually, is I want you to look in the month of August. Now, this is very important, and I know other people are listening to this, so I want to state this very clearly. If I say I see a romance evolving by August, that doesn't mean you have to wait till August to start socializing. It means between this date and the month of August, I see something happening in a romantic way on your personal front. So that means that sometimes I get people I say that to, and they say, well, it's not going to happen to August, so I don't have to go to that social function, I don't have to go to that church function, I don't have to go to this. But that's not true. You need
right.
to go to all the events that you would have gone to, because it means between now and then. It could be tomorrow that you meet this person, mm-hmm. or you could meet the friend or the brother of the cousin who is related to this person that you're eventually going to meet. So don't shut yourself
wow.
down to then, okay?
Okay.
But as you see, August is going to be the month where you're going to, definitely between now and August, you will have somebody that you will be romantically linked to. And I see that very strongly. Okay?
Okay. Very good.
All right, Susie. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, okay?
Thank you so much for being a blessing, Dr. Jenny.
Oh, God bless you. You have a wonderful evening now. Call again.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. She was very, very sweet. That was lovely. That was Susie calling in. And it's so hard sometimes when you're divorced. And
I'm a single mom, and I know exactly where she's coming from.
And you have a teenage daughter. So
I do.
You know, it can
and
be,
she can be a challenge at best.
Yeah. Well, I think any teenager can be a challenge. I don't think it's rare when you find a teenager who's not a challenge, because
right.
they're growing up. They're becoming independent. They're testing their boundaries.
Oh, sure. That's how they learn, by making mistakes, and you have to be there to guide them the whole way.
I think what's critical sometimes is learning when to choose your battles, you know, and learning when to let it go. And that sometimes can be very, very difficult.
Oh,
you know?
Sure.
Very, very difficult. I hope that we'll be able to cover some of those subjects, and we are going to on the show. We have some really neat guest speakers that are going to be coming up on the show that I'm really excited about. One of the ones who I absolutely adore is Lucinda Stryker Schmidt. She wrote A Separate God, and she grew up, she was Amish, and she was born into an Amish family. And I say Amish like that because I'm one of those people who say amen and amen. And so when I say Amish, I don't want to say Amish. So I go, ah, Amish. I know it seems silly, but it's the only way I can connect it. But she grew up in an Amish family, and she's an amazing person. And the book she wrote, A Separate God, it's a fictional account of her actual childhood and her marriage, but it's based on factual events. And she's an amazing person. And one of the things that she'll be talking about is how, you know, with Amish communities, the outer appearance is a very peaceful and hardworking society. But that kind of belies the very real dysfunction that goes on in some of these families. Within her own Amish family, even with her own husband, she dealt with physical abuse, incest, and some pretty frightening repression.
Well, it's an awesome book. I read the book myself.
I
loved it.
Oh, it's so good.
And it's amazing what goes on behind closed doors in those societies.
And yet, you know, the one thing that she always says is, you know, she doesn't want to leave the impression that she doesn't care for and treasure the time that she spends with both her secular and Amish community, because she has reconnected. And this is a story of faith and hope, because she talks about how she got away from it and how she put herself through nursing school and how she wrote a book and how she's a very extremely successful business owner and how through all that oppression she can come out on top.
Oh,
so it's
she's
also
a strong woman.
Yeah, a great story of faith and hope. We're going to have Father Bob Bailey, who's going to be with us. He's a Catholic priest from...
I can't wait till that one.
He's such a neat guy. He's a Catholic priest from Pawtucket, Rhode Island. He's been on Paranormal State. He's on, I think it's called The Haunting.
A lot of your listeners have seen him.
Yeah, he's really an awesome guy. But one of the things that he's worked with us on, as you know, is the difference between human spirits who have crossed over and those who have not, those who I like to call getting caught in the in-between. And particularly those who have crossed over, can they come back to comfort us when they come back and they talk to us? Because many of us have felt the presence of loved ones who we believe have crossed over, who we hope have crossed over, you know, and are in heaven.
Right.
And can they really come back and talk to us?
That's a good question.
It's a great question. It's one he absolutely has an opinion on, and it's a great opinion. And one that he will tell you that actually, because of God's permissive will, they actually can come back. But he'll talk about that, and it's very exciting, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a great show.
And then on another show, we're going to do chakra healing. We're going to do a 15-minute chakra healing. A lot of people have heard what chakras, you know, what does it mean, what's it about, and it has to do with the nerve centers, the seven main nerve centers it goes down your spinal column, and how we can open them up using sound and frequency vibration. We're actually going to do 15 minutes and open one of the chakras. And so people can see that it's very benign, it's very relaxing, and it's really a great experience, which is what everyone says once they have that done.
Yeah,
the biggest response is they were nervous going in and coming out. They feel like they're floating. So that's pretty neat. So let's see what we have next on our list here of the greatest restaurants that we can get a healthy and nutritional breakfast at.
Okay, there's two I definitely want to mention, because I know you have a lot of people calling in. So
mm-hmm.
We can squeeze these in real quick. McDonald's has a real healthy choice that I personally love. It's a fruit and maple oatmeal. McDonald's just recently added this to their menu. It's oatmeal with diced green and red apples, cranberries, raisins, brown sugar, and a touch of cream. And it is really delicious, and the fat grams are 4.5 grams of fat, 260 calories, and 7 grams of protein.
Now, that's one you get all the time.
I love it. I love it, and it is so filling. And look at 260 calories. I mean, that is a great diet breakfast, in my opinion.
Which is really good. But let me ask you this. When you get it, do they serve it to you hot, and then do you drive to the office with it, or can you eat it in the car?
You can eat it in the car if you're a little neater than me and don't drop things all over yourself.
Okay. But it's tasty.
It's tasty. It's in a cup, and you can eat it on the go, and it's really, I think it's delicious. But I also like oatmeal. You have to be an oatmeal fan.
Okay. Is anywhere on that list two Krispy Kreme donuts and a cup of coffee? That's what
I wish, because that would be my diet plan.
Unfortunately, all the good stuff is never on the list.
I know, no kidding.
That's the sad stuff. All right, I'll tell you what. We're gonna take another live caller here. You're all on live with the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. We're going to take a live caller named Lee who's calling in, and I'm not quite sure where Lee's calling in from. Lee, you're live on the air. How can I help you?
Hi, Ginny. I'm from Kentucky. I've talked to you before. Matter of fact, I was the one that done your banners.
Oh, God bless you. Good for you. You did a beautiful job with my banner, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I've called in. Excuse me. I've called in. I lost my mom about 10 years ago. And I've always been a mama's boy. Matter of fact, I slept in the same bed. My mom wouldn't let me sleep without her until I was 14 years old.
Wow.
Okay, it wasn't nothing like that. I mean, we lived in eastern Kentucky in poverty, and we lived in separate ends. Our bedrooms was in separate ends of the trailer that we lived in, and she would afraid to get caught fire somewhere, and one of us wouldn't get out, so on and so forth. And you know, I lost her about 10 years ago, and ever since I've lost her, I've never had no dreams about Mommy.
Okay.
I think about her often, but I've always, you know, people tell me how they dream about, you know, their loved ones or their parents or something. I don't have no dreams about her, you know.
Yeah, and that bothers you, and you're always thinking, well, I know she loved me, and if she loved me so much, and other people can have dreams, or other people can have, you know, what they consider visits from those who have crossed over because they'll smell their perfume, or maybe she liked to make Cinnabons or something, and they smell that in the morning, and they think, you know, Mom came to visit me. And you're saying that you've never had that feeling, and it kind of bothers you.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I was always brought up in a Christian home, and I was always brought up as a Baptist, which I don't even – I consider myself as non-denominational right now because – the Baptists, the Free Will Baptists, all of that, you know, they say that, like the Christian psychics, that's they're not right, that it's wrong, and they say other things like that. And, you know, it's coming down to where it's affecting my life, to where it's making me wrestle with my spirituality and everything, because I want to be able to talk to Mom, or at least know that she loved me in my dreams and that I'm doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, and I think you're dealing with two different issues here, if I may. I think one of the things you're asking is it okay to communicate with those from the other side or with angels to get some kind of messages? And if you do that, are you going against your religion? Is that part of one of the questions?
That's one of them. Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay. Well, you know, I've always said in that regard, a person always has to follow their own personal beliefs. However, I truly believe that if God made the angels and put them here to help us and to guide us, as it states in the Bible, then would it be so wrong to talk to them directly? And aren't you merely accepting a gift that God has bestowed upon us? So I think, you know, I don't think angels are ever conspiring against God, nor are you. And angels bring messages from the divine. So, depending on your religious belief, and I don't care if you believe in God or for some people it's Creator, regardless, angels are sent as a gift from God to help us, you know, polish our talents, make us better, keep us out of harm's way. So I think that being able to communicate with them is a good thing. Okay, so that's number one. The other thing that I have to say kind of goes to what Father Bob Bailey, who's a Catholic priest, has to say about permissive will, which is that God, in his infinite wisdom, decides when a person who has already crossed over has the ability to have a two-way street, to be able to come back. And we call these benign spirits that don't hurt anyone. They come back to aid, to help, maybe to watch over a loved one or give a message. So that's okay. Because that's God's will allowing that to happen. Now, the fact that she has not come over and talked to you, it is, I think, maybe the next thing we need to talk about. And I think, though, one of the things that happens is we always say we want them to come in our time, and it's kind of like asking God to create a job opportunity for you tomorrow, and it doesn't happen, and we get impatient, we want it to happen, but it has to happen in God's time, not ours. And I think it's the same thing here. The one thing I'm feeling very, very strongly is when your mother passed away, there's a piece of you that totally shut down. Is this true?
Yeah, completely, because I went off on, and I still ain't brought myself back from it yet, and it's been 10, 12 years.
Okay, yeah. I think that you feel that because your mother's not here, you, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, but one of the things that I'm sensing so strongly is you wanted her to be proud of you more than anything in the world, and when she was gone, you almost felt there was no one there to be proud of you. Is that true?
Yeah, I look at my wife for that now. They say that the longer you're married, the more your other half like becomes a parent to you or whatever. And I do that to my wife. You know, I guess I put a lot of what mommy had taught me towards my wife, my wife to be like my mom. Not in a parental sense, but like the cooking, the cleaning, to where I can see her in her. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times we end up marrying people that are like our parents. And the reason for that is our parents showed us unconditional love. And who in this world wouldn't want to be loved unconditionally? We all want to feel that way. So that's okay. Does that mean that you can't have intimacy with your wife because you married somebody who was like your mother? No, it has nothing to do with that. Those two don't cross over. But what you need to know is just because your mother hasn't been able to communicate with you on this realm doesn't mean she hasn't been there helping you along the way. And that's one of those things that I was just talking about, the permissive will. She may have been there guiding you along the way. So are there times that you just thought you were at the absolute end and you weren't going to make it through, and you did make it through?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
With my disability and stuff, it's like that all the time. And, you know, while I'm awake now, I keep seeing these little glances out of, like, the corner of my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a female figure that I've seen. But, you know, and I thought it was, you know, maybe something in the house we lived in, but it's been in three different houses that we moved to since my mom had passed.
And when
I didn't know
that
could be her.
Well, let me ask you this.
I see that when I'm feeling down, when I'm wanting to see her.
Okay, so what you're saying is you see a person who follows you from house to house, and I already know the answer to this, but this is for you, for your perspective. When you see this person, it doesn't scare you, does it? Does it scare you?
No, it don't scare me at all. I mean, like one day I was sitting at my desk and our bathroom is right off from out of my bedroom, you know, our master bath is, and I literally out of the corner of my eye seen this female figure look around the corner of the door, and when I turned around to look, it was gone.
Yeah.
It was watching me from behind, but I can't ever actually lay eyes on it, or I actually can't dream about it.
I would venture to say that your mother has been visiting you. When they come over from the other side, they're at a very, very high vibration, which is why we often will catch them in our peripheral vision, okay? It's no different than if you go to a paranormal investigation and you catch a shadow out of the side of your eye. That's because the vibration level is so fast that the peripheral vision will catch it, and then when you focus, you can't see it because it's vibrating at such a high speed. But I think that you already know. You know, one of the things I always say to people is when they have a dream or a vision, how do they know if it's a dream or a vision? And one of the best ways to tell is, let's be honest, Lee, if you came home one day and out of the corner of your eye you saw somebody there, you'd be like, oh, my gosh, who is that, right? But you're not doing that when you see this. You almost get a warm feeling, a feeling of you're being watched over and protected, correct?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Okay, that's because...
And see, my youngest son sees it too.
Ah, very good. And how old is your youngest son?
He's 12.
Okay. See, the fact that he's seeing it and you're seeing it and it's following you from house to house and it doesn't scare you is one of the identifiers so that we know that this is what we consider a kind spirit or a friendly spirit. Somebody's there to watch over you. Now, do I
believe it don't scare me, but it does him in a way. He won't even go in the restroom by himself.
Well, it's going to be scary to somebody who's never seen this person before. Now, did he was 2 years old when your mother died, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So for him, he never really had that connection to her. Now, for you, though, I'm going to ask you this question. When your mother died, did she die from something that ended up going throughout her body?
Just blood clots and emphysema. She just fell over with a heart attack.
What I'm sensing is she had like body illness throughout. It wasn't just like a heart attack and boom. It was she was ill throughout her entire body in lots of different areas.
Yes.
And I feel that very strongly. The other thing I want to ask you, there's somebody by the name of, it has an IE at the end of it, IE, I don't know what it is, or a Y. Who is this female? It either has an IE or a Y at the end of the name.
Well, my mom's name was Georgie.
Georgie, okay, there we go, that's her.
G-E-O-R-G-I-E.
Okay, this is what I'm getting. I'm getting two syllables, but I'm getting E at the end, like a Y or an IE, which is why I'm saying IE or Y. So I believe that this is your mother who's coming to visit you. Your mother was a very sweet, a very kind woman. Your mother never saw the wrong in you. You know what I'm saying? She knew when you did wrong, and she would talk to you about it, but your mother was one of the true, she loved you so unconditionally. Do you know what I'm saying? She still does. Okay, she's still there.
I couldn't do nothing wrong to her, even in my teenage years when I
when you
was a rebellious teen that was mean to her. Now, I didn't hit her or nothing, but the rebellious teen, early 20s, when I would cuss at her and say, "Mommy, F this," or whatever, and walk on out the door. And no matter what I said or done, Mommy loved me.
Well, that's how we wish all mothers would be, because mothers are supposed to love us unconditionally, and you were blessed to have her in your life for as long as you did. Now, even though she doesn't come in front of you and sit down and have coffee with you in the morning anymore, she's still a part of your life, and that's validated by her coming to see you and also by getting the IE or the Y at the end of the name, so we know this is her, and also the fact that it doesn't scare you, because I happen to sense you're a pretty tough guy. Okay. I know that you did my banners, but we've only spoken, I think, the one time when I asked you to do them over the phone. So I really don't know anything about you. I also know that you went through a really tough time in your life. Is this correct? When I say tough time, I want to clarify this. You got yourself in a lot of trouble at one time, correct?
Well, depending on what you want to call trouble, but yeah.
Okay. But I also see that you've almost turned a new leaf. You're an extremely spiritual person, and you really do everything in your power to live your life right. Is that correct?
Yes, I do, and that's what I've been wrestling with too. Like I told you at the beginning, I don't consider myself as a denomination, as Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic or anything like that. You know, I try to live what the Bible tells me.
Okay, and you're interpreting the Bible, and this is what I need to say about this, okay? When you're interpreting the Bible and you're trying to live Christ-like, that's all God ever wanted any of us to do. So you're living the right way. You can't expect, when you look at some of the religions, and believe me, I'm very open-minded to all kinds of religions, but one of the things you always have to remember is one religion may see it another way, one may see it this way, and one may see it yet another way. But if you follow all religions back in time, and you keep following them back, almost all religions crossed at one time. So there's a little bit of every religion in every religion. You have to live Christ-like. If you're doing that, you're living the right way.
Yeah.
And I think you already know
that. It takes a lot
that.
To make me cry, but you've got me crying like a baby.
I'm sorry, Leah. I don't want you to cry, but I think they're tears of joy, and that's a good thing because you know you're doing the right thing. You're living the way you're supposed to live, and you also know that your mother, who was truly one of I know two people who love you unconditionally, because I know your wife loves you the same way. But I know that your mother is still a part of your life and will always be a part of your life. So you're never alone. So don't ever feel like you are, because she's there with you.
Well, thank
okay?
you, Jenny. I mean, I really thank you.
You're welcome, Lee.
And listen, God bless you, honey, and keep up the work that you're doing.
Well, God bless you, too. You have a wonderful evening, and give your wife a big hug, okay?
I sure will, honey. Thank
All
you,
right.
and God bless.
You're welcome. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, what a super guy, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
That was Lee. What a super guy.
Definitely got in touch with him and touched him.
Yeah, you know, it's hard when our parents cross over, because I think everybody feels when their mom or dad cross over that last person, that person who was always going to have your back, is gone. And you think, who's left? And we see this a lot where people sometimes, you know, their drive to do good, to move forward, to be a good person, to be a productive part of society, is killed because they feel like there's no one left to impress anymore.
Right.
And you have to remember that even though your parent is not there with you, and on this plane, they're certainly there watching from the other plane.
Right.
And you should never forget that. That's the most important thing. We're going to get back to taking you some calls in just a minute. There's a person that I really love, and I want to play this for you because it's called Angel by Shaggy and Rayvon, and I love it. So I'm just going to play that for you, and I'll be back in just a second.
Now this one dedicated to all of you, them who are down off and say nice things to them girls. Trees are like diamonds and pearls. Dedicated to all the girls around the world. I'm Mrs. Raven and Shaggy with a combination with your name. Flip this one for your musical dish.
Well, girl, I surrender. So thanks for giving me your love. Call
us this one big party when you're still young. And who's gonna have your back when it's all done? It's all good when you live for your pure fun. Can't be a fool, son, what about the long run?
Yeah.
Looking back, shawty, always I mention. Tell me not giving her much attention.
Yeah.
She was there through my incarceration. I wanna show the nation my appreciation.
Girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. Closer than my pixie ball to me.
By Shaggy and Rayvon, and I just love that song, so I wanted to play it for everybody. Okay, we're going to go ahead and go back to the live call-in line, and we're going to take another caller right now. We look like we are on the phone now with John. John, can you hear me okay?
Hi, Jenny. How are you, dear?
I'm doing great. How are you this evening?
How's your New Year started off?
My New Year has started off pretty fabulous, actually.
Great.
It's wonderful.
I've talked to you a few times back in the past. I'm up here in the North Country.
Okay. What part of the North Country are you calling from?
A little town called Whitefield.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, John, how can I help you tonight?
All right. I got a couple of questions here real quick.
Okay.
The first one is there's been a girl here. She has MS. We live in a complex type building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've noticed that lately, this is something new developing. She's been making really heavy eye contact on me, some sexual remarks even. And I don't know if there's something going to develop on that or... I've got a pretty good feeling about it, but I just don't know if she is serious about me or what. Is it going to be a fling or whatever? And my other two questions is, my mother is out of state. She's been seeing a man who's married, but she's known him before my father died 3 years ago of cancer. And he always tells her that he loves her, da-da-da, stuff like that. And if he wasn't with his wife, who I guess she's sick, very sick, I don't know of what, that he would be with her. And my other third question real quick is, lately I've been having experiences with time displacements. I'm very spiritual myself. I'd be, like, walking down a covered bridge, and all of a sudden I call them what I call time displacements or time shifts.
Okay.
And I don't know if this is something occurring with me or something happening in the universe coming through me, and it's something very, very new.
Okay. First thing, let me ask you, let me tell you one thing about your mother's relationship. Your mother's relationship with this gentleman is not supposed to go in the direction it's going. I believe we all have karma. We have a karma bank, and we have a negative and a positive side to our karma banks. Now, quite frankly, and I know you'll agree with me on this, your mother's interested in kind of engaging with a possible activity with a gentleman who's currently married and whose wife is ill. By her engaging in this activity, even putting it out to the universe, it builds up her negative karma bank. And she doesn't really need to be doing that. As you know, your mother has some health issues, correct?
Yeah, she recently had some kind of eye surgery. She has some kind of eye shot in there because her vision is going so-so now.
Right. And so this is the last thing that she needs to be worried about is getting involved with a man who's currently married, who somebody's committed to another person, who's caring for that person who's ill. She doesn't need to be filling up her negative karma bank by putting herself in that situation. So she should remove him from her environment completely. And
that's
number one. Okay, so I want to go there. Let's go to something else. You recently were to the doctor, correct?
Excuse me, Jenny?
You were recently at the doctor, correct?
No, I haven't been for quite some time.
Okay, well, I have to ask this question, and I don't want you to get offended. Where's the? I'm seeing a lot of alcohol. Where is that coming from?
I don't drink at all.
The person you're interested in has MS, so she couldn't be drinking, correct?
Well, she stated to me a few times that she likes liquid, so I'm assuming that's alcohol.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so this is where the alcohol is coming from. So this is what
I don't know what she does in her personal life, whatever.
I think that you know that she does drink on occasion. I believe that you've been in her presence when she's been intoxicated, or at least you believe she's been intoxicated. Is this correct?
No.
You have not been in her presence?
No, I've been in another situation where I know another girl who is an alcoholic, and I've been in her presence many times.
All right. I'm getting a female who's attached to you who has a drinking problem. How long has this association been with this female who has the drinking problem? Have you just recently broken your way apart from her, or are you still somewhat connected to her?
Yes, I've been broken away from her. She's a lot older than I am. She's about, she just recently turned 58, and she is a full-fledged alcoholic, and that's one of the reasons why, and it's kind of hot because we all live in the same complex. Her boyfriend got out of jail, blah, 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 and that's another reason why I don't want to continue to play her game. She's going from men to men to men. She has a lot of men friends. I don't know if there's anything going on with that, but I try to really, like you said, pull away from her. But I just saw her down the street tonight, and she said, "Hi, Emily." Blah blah, you know. And I don't know, and that's one of the reasons why I really put away. And like, what basically what I'm saying is giving up on it. You know what I mean? So,
John,
I mean,
you saw
I
saw her tonight, correct, you said? And that's the strongest energy that I feel coming through. Now, was she slightly intoxicated when you saw her tonight?
No, she was sober tonight.
We joked
a little bit. She went down to the store, tried to pick up some food, whatever, and she said something about turkeys going on sale and there's no turkeys there, whatever, stuff of that nature.
Okay.
And her name is Amy.
Well, you have to question whether she was completely sober or not if she was talking about turkeys. But I will say this. The strongest energy that I feel coming through is a female that's connected to you that has a serious drinking issue. I see the alcohol, lots of alcohol.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that you still have feelings for this girl, and I guess you already know that, correct?
Once in a while, you know, it goes from my head just like anything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. What I'm going to tell you is if you know that she is involved with somebody else on a touch-and-go basis, which I believe she is because you mentioned the boyfriend from prison, I think that there's a really good, strong, lots of reasons why you shouldn't be involved with her, okay?
Right.
So I would – But that aside, so now you keep your distance from her because that's nothing but trouble waiting to happen. You know
right,
that, right,
exactly.
Brother? Okay. All right. Now, we've got one other issue here. Now, there's this other girl who you believe is, well, shall we say, flirting with you, okay? And she's the one
yes.
who has MS, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Her name,
now, I'm gonna
her, name is, her, Her name is Diane.
Okay.
She's
Diane.
She's roughly about my age. She's I'm 47. She's about 42, 45.
Okay. Diane does have feelings for you, but that needs to come from her to you in a communication,
mm-hmm.
not from me to you. So you need to actually communicate with her. How does she feel about you? And that's an okay thing to do, but there's another thing I want to warn you about. Diane does on occasion take a drink, and this can be
right.
a bit of a problem. You know this, okay? This can
right.
be a bit of a problem because with MS and the alcohol, it could really make it a lot worse,
right.
and the symptoms can get a lot worse. So you need to know that up front. That's something she really ought not to be doing, and so I'll tell that to you so you know that. But just keep that in mind, okay? So what's most important for me for you to know, though, and this is the most important thing, I want you not to just assume that that she likes you. I want you to communicate it because that's always been, I think, an issue for you is that you have a hard time just communicating openly and freely and saying, hey, you know, I kind of like you. How do you feel about me? Would you like to go out in a social situation? Ask her straight out. Then you'll know for sure. You don't have to assume or guess. And then at that time, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to have a healthy relationship with her, you're going to get her to stop drinking with the MS diagnosis because it's really a nasty combination to have, okay?
Right. Well, I've been wanting to ask, but the thing is, you know, she is in a wheelchair, so I don't know if she's, you know, like embarrassed to go down the street with that, we still got winter up here, and maybe in the spring I can walk it, you know, go down the street. I don't know how she feels about that.
She's always in her house. I'm going to tell you right now. I think that it's wonderful that you're opening up yourself to her. And I think it's wonderful that you're going to give her an opportunity to have a companion and some companionship. And I think that all you need to do is to communicate with her and ask her. And maybe at first she may not want to go out. But I guarantee
right.
you this. If you take your time and go slow and take it steady with her, I bet you can convince her to go out and to socialize more out in public. But
okay.
I think she'll need that person by her side. There's also a fear factor I feel from her. You know, going out in a wheelchair by herself is not going
right.
to be as easy as if she goes out with you
right.
by her side in the wheelchair. So I strongly suggest that you do contact her and try and open lines of communication with her, honestly, with love and integrity. And I'm telling you, your message will get across, okay?
Okay.
All
now,
right, John, listen. Thanks for calling in, okay? I've got a ton of callers on the line, so I'm going to have to take another one. All right, sweetie, but thank you so much for calling in tonight, all right?
Have a good night.
Okay, you too. God bless you, John. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
All righty. I want to thank everybody who's calling in. I know it's taking a little bit longer to get some of these questions answered, but, you know, it's always tough. There's nothing, and I think, Jessica, you'll agree with me, there's nothing that simple communication
right.
sometimes can't fix. It's uncomfortable sometimes for people to communicate, but it's not because you have trouble talking, and it's not because you don't know the right questions to ask. It's because you have a fear of what the response will be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be rejected.
Nobody. And so sometimes we don't ask the question. And I have seen more relationships that never got started that I believe were intended to start, but they never went anywhere because they were afraid to ask the question and get rejected. And you've got to open yourself up to rejection, otherwise you don't open up your heart to love.
Right.
And that's just a reality to life. That's true. Okay, we'll be back in just a second.
Everywhere you'd think me rude, but I would just stand and stare. Maybe I'd rather stay awake when I'm asleep. Cause everything is never as it seems. Cause I get 1,000 hugs from 10,000 lightning bugs as they try to teach me how to dance. A foxtrot above my head, a sock hop beneath my bed, a disco ball is just hanging by a thread.
With the Christian Psychic Cafe. I'm Dr. Ginny. I'm here with my co-host,
Miss Jessica.
And we are taking mini psychic readings. We're trying to make a mini, but we have to help people.
They've become from mini to a lot longer than mini.
I know, and I'm sorry. I know we've got a lot of people on the line looking for some help and some answers, and I'm doing the best I can to get to everybody. It's just that sometimes we have to take the caller that comes in, and we've got to help them. We can't let them go without helping. We're trying to help you to help us decide what topic we're going to talk about next week for next week's show, which is the 16th, which will be Wednesday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. We've got two topics, and we're going to ask you to write into our chat room, or if you want, go to my website at www.drginny.com, drginny.com. And vote for one of these topics. And the topics are younger women dating older men, why? And the other topic is close one door and another will open, and how to recognize opportunity. So those are the two topics that we're trying to decide.
And
we're going to let you vote.
They're good topics.
They're
younger men,
topics.
Older women, that's an interesting topic.
It's an interesting topic because I think that a lot of it makes it, well, you're in the dating pool right now, right?
I am in a dating pool, and there are a lot of older men out there, and, you know, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that.
Well,
so,
are you having trouble dating men your own age because they're going for younger women?
Well, and that is the problem. People my age just seem to want the younger women, and that's frustrating to me because I'd prefer somebody closer to my age.
And I think that what I'm going to assume before we even get into the topic, if we get into it next week, because, you know, if we don't get into it next week, we're going to do it another week. But I'm assuming one of the reasons is financial. I think a lot of younger women go for older men because of the security and the financial stability. But we're gonna be looking at some of the facts and statistics associated with that because I think it's interesting. But I think it's really hard. It's hard when you want to date somebody in your own age group, right?
And when they don't want to date somebody their own age, it is frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'd be curious to see, you know, what people out there are doing. I just think going for somebody your own age, you have more in common, more same life experience. That's my opinion.
Well, it makes sense. You know, I'm not the same person I was when I was 26. I'm
right.
Certainly not even the same person I was when I was 40.
Right.
And I'm not going to say how old I am, but I think that each few years that go by, we change, we evolve,
sure.
We become hopefully better human beings,
right.
But also our wants, our desires, what we want to do. I can't imagine being and doing the things that I wanted to do when I was 26.
No.
You know? I mean, first of all, I couldn't go out dancing all night and then come home.
I definitely could not do that anymore.
Definitely could not do that. But I think also a 26-year-old, I think one of the things that we see as a syndrome with younger women is they look for what I call the sugar daddy syndrome, or for children who grew up without a father figure. Okay.
To be taken care of.
Yeah, because, you know, that's inside class 101. You learn that
right.
Children who grow up without a dad sometimes have a tendency to look for somebody who's older or somebody who grew up in a household who didn't have a strong male father and didn't bond.
Right, sure. Everybody wants to feel safe and taken care of.
Right, exactly. So that could be one of the reasons. And then, of course, the other subject that we'd like you to vote on is when one door closes and another opens, how do you recognize opportunity? Because I think that a lot of times we have this happen in our life and we're so busy focusing on the door that just closed, the opportunity whizzes by.
Well, and I think a lot of doors open and you just don't even realize it.
Absolutely. I would agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. And I want to take a moment to thank our producer for this show tonight. Her name is Laquequay Thomas. She's from New Orleans. And as she says, New Orleans, I can't even say it the way she does.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. She almost kind of, it's almost one word. New Orleans. She's from New Orleans, Louisiana, and she's doing a great job taking the callers tonight, so we really do appreciate that. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take another call for the next person on the list. And, folks, truly, I'm trying to get to everybody, and I'm just taking you as they come up in the queue, okay? And let me see here. I think the person we've got next, I believe, is, let me get this right, is this Diane?
Yes.
Okay, great. Hi, Diane. You are live on the Christian Psychic Cafe. How can I help you tonight?
Well, I would like to know about this guy I have been seeing and where that's going and where he's at.
Okay.
With this.
Well, with this. Okay. First of all, okay, I'm sensing that you're with a man who is, he's available, but he's not available. In other words, he's telling you he's going to be available, but he's currently not available. Is that true?
Yes. That is true.
Okay. All right. And the other thing that I'm getting from this is that he's far away from you. I mean, he's not like next door to you. He's not in your same town, is he?
Yeah, no, he's an hour away.
He's an hour away. Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. Let me see what else I'm getting here. I don't know what you know about this gentleman, so I want to be careful what I say. Are you aware that this man is probably already committed maybe to somebody else?
Yeah, he's going through a divorce.
Okay, good. Whew. I always got to be careful because I don't want to be the one to bring up, yeah, okay. All right, so you're aware of that. Let me tell you a couple of things that I see going on with him. He is going through a divorce, and I know that you and he have spoken, and he plans on being available for you, and everything's going to be okay. But I'm going to tell you the first thing that I see is a retreat of you and him, and that is currently what you're in right now. You
mm-hmm.
could call it a retreat, you could call it a pause, but whatever you want to call it, it's a separation where you two aren't together, but you're still in somewhat of a communication, correct? You still communicate with him.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And he's going through this divorce. Now, the thing is, you are not the reason for the divorce. You know that.
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Are you saying no, you're not? Because
no,
I'm
not
saying
the reason.
You are not the reason. Yes, okay. I want to make sure. All right, because that's what I'm seeing. You are not the reason for the divorce.
No, he already had started it, yeah.
Yeah, and so really, and the other thing that you need to know, because I'm seeing this really quite clearly, you are also not, I don't want to, you're not the first one, okay? I want to be very careful how I say this. You know how sometimes when people go through a divorce, then they automatically meet somebody and they just suddenly run off and marry that person because
mm-hmm.
it's the first person that showed them some kindness since their divorce. But that's not the case for you because this is a pretty intelligent guy, I'm sensing, and he
mm-hmm.
really does know what he wants out of life. So,
mm-hmm.
and I think you know this as well, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. No, you hesitated. Well, you're not the rebound girl is what I'm trying to say.
Huh.
Do you worry that you are?
I worry about that, yeah.
Okay, you're not. And that's probably why it's being revealed to me. You are not the rebound girl. And if that's what you're worrying about, take it away, push it out of your head, push it, throw it down a snow-filled mountain because that's absolutely not the case, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're not the rebound girl. He knows what he wants. He's known what he wanted for a long time. He's spent a lot of time deciding on this divorce, so you're okay there. What I'm seeing is what you were looking for you have found with this guy, but you have to have the patience to wait for it. My suggestion, though, is while he's going through this process of divorce, which I'm seeing what should take another, 3 to 6 months around in there, is that correct?
I have no idea.
Okay. It's really critical that you not have any kind of physical interaction with him until this process goes through, because is he still living with her?
Yes, he is. We haven't seen each other for months.
Okay, good. It's important that you not, because you don't want to be the motivating factor behind it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He needs to know that he has turned at this stone of his own accord, which he was doing prior to meeting you, which he was following through on. But I also see that there's some things that need to be done, that need to be ironed out, financial issues, etc. I think you
mm-hmm.
probably are aware of this.
Yes.
That need to be ironed out. And this is why it's taking as long as it is. But you never want to get 5 months away from this, 8 months away from this, have him come to you and know that perhaps you are the catalyst behind it, because you don't want to be. So it's important you keep the physical part apart from him while he's going through this, because he's still living with her. And while
right.
he's still living with her, you do not want to be with him. It's not advisable. We're talking
right.
about that whole negative, positive karma bank thing again. But it really exists, and you want to make sure yours stays positive. But I'm being shown that you really have found what you're looking for and that true love is coming your way, and I do believe that it is this gentleman that the true love is coming for. I also see, now this sounds like an odd question for me. I see marriage coming down the pike for you as well, but I see that in like the beginning of like February of next year, okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't see this now, okay?
Yeah.
Or any time, so we're talking the beginning of February, and maybe the actual intent will be expressed in February, but it won't happen till spring, okay? Just
spring.
So you know.
Okay.
And the other thing is, you're still not sleeping good, are you?
No, I'm still not sleeping good. No.
Yeah, I can see this. I can see you're not. It's saying, yeah, you're not. So
yeah, this whole thing has been painful, so I don't sleep well.
You really need to work on that, and I know it's so great for me to say, oh, we'll go work on that. I know, right? But one of the things that I'm seeing will help you is music. Do you relate to music really well?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to suggest that when you go to bed at night, that you put on the music that you connect to. Now, it doesn't have to be calm. It doesn't have to be classic. It could be whatever. I don't care if it's hard rock, although I know it's not hard rock. But it could be with any kind of music you connect to. I want you to play that as you drift off to sleep, because it's gonna put you into a sleep pattern. And I can't go into the scientific reasons why right now, but I can tell you that you and your connection to music will establish a sleep pattern for you. And if you do that, I can promise you, if you did it tonight, you will
uh-huh.
sleep better tonight already. And each night, it'll get better and better.
Oh, good. Can I ask, so if it's whatever it is, 6 months or whatever it is, I can't be with this person, or will I have any communication with him? Is it that I just have to let him go? I don't know what to do in this 6 months.
I think a little bit of communication, just to you know, hey, how you doing? I'm still here. I know you're still going through your thing, is okay. But you don't want it to go beyond that. You want to keep it very shallow, actually, because, again, we don't want to put out to the universe that you have a hand in this divorce. Even though you don't, we don't want it to be created either. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, but should I wait for him to communicate with me first or me for you to do it first? I wait for him?
Wait for him. Definitely wait for him.
So
he's working through some issues.
He is.
I know. I know he is, and let him work through those issues. Look, this is one of those things where you contacting him only muddies up the waters.
So I wait for him, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, you've got to wait for him because you want him to come to you with a clear head and a clear mind and a clear thought process. And the only way that's going to happen is when he reaches that point where he's gotten through what he needs to get through, and now he's ready to move forward. But if you start contacting him, it's gonna muck up the waters, and you don't.
So why is he not contacting me then? We were, and then all of a sudden he hasn't for like a month.
And then all of a sudden he's pulled back. Well, I think because this is taking longer than he anticipated. I think there's some emotional issues going on. There's definitely some guilt going on right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I can feel it. So those three things put together. He has pulled back a little bit, but out of sight does not mean out of mind. I will tell you that.
So does he still think about being with me?
Does he still think about being with you? The answer is yes. Does he still think about a future with you? The answer is yes. And I think that's important. It's not does he just still think about you,
right?
But does he still think about being with you? Because I think that's ultimately what you really want to know, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so the answer is yes on both accounts. Okay.
Okay, so Steve still has plans in his head to come back.
I'm telling you that he still thinks about a future together with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is that helpful?
Yeah, but the question is, what do I do in the 6 months while I'm waiting?
Have you ever tried knitting? No, I'm kidding.
I know.
That's what you needed to hear, right?
Yeah, because it's already been four months.
Yeah, you've got to wait. You know, here's the thing. You're a big girl, and you know, you knew when you got into this what you were getting into. And it's really important when I always say when the timing's right, then everything's going to fall into place. But when we try to force things outside of what I call God's timing, when the timing isn't right, what happens is you can meet the most wonderful man in the world, but if the timing's not right, be sorry you met him because it's not going to happen.
That's right.
So you've got to wait for the timing to be right. And in this case, that's what you're waiting for.
And so by me backing off, that won't push him away?
No, it's not pushing him away at all. Because what will actually push him away is if you put pressure on him when he's not in the position to do anything about it.
Because, you know, you wonder, like, if you back away, they think you've moved on.
Well, I don't think he thinks that you have moved on. I think that he is constantly worried that he's not in the position to be able to, for you, give you the kind of commitment that you're looking for because he's still committed to another relationship.
Right.
So, you know, if you were to put pressure on him, you know, there's an old sales saying that prospects pursued run away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way in relationships. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. I mean, women are the and you know this is true. I mean, the more we like a guy and the more we show a guy that we like him, the harder it is to get him.
It's true. My mom tells me that.
Right? Yeah, it's true. Ignore him completely.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying treat him poorly, but ignore him and watch what happens. Okay, so in this case, we already know that the feelings are there. That's already been established. But he's going through some issues with her right now, and he needs to work through those issues without the shadow of you kind of putting the pressure on him, making him feel like he's got to make decisions. Because let me tell you what you don't want. You don't want him making a decision a second, a millimeter of a second sooner than he should, because the first time you have a fight, once you get back together, you force him to divorcing his wife because that's what's going to come out. And you don't want that.
Right. Right.
You don't want that. So
no, I don't.
So that's why I'm going to say that you need to absolutely hold off. Let him contact you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. All right. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. Okay.
Well, thank you. It was very helpful.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Diane. Thank you so much for calling in, Diane. Okay. And I've got another caller on the line here, and I believe it is, her name is Camille, and I'm going to try and log her on right now. Let's see if we've been successful. Hi, Camille. This is Dr. Jenny. Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes,
hi. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Great. How can
yeah.
I help you tonight?
Okay, well, as I was listening to you all, my phone, my mobile phone, froze.
Oh, gosh.
And for about 5 minutes, and when it came back on to Facebook, what I found in the status update that I didn't type was the word opportunity.
Ah.
I didn't type this, and I said, oh, my God.
So I'm like, okay.
So,
do you believe that maybe that was just a message from one of your angels telling you that opportunities are being presented to you?
Yes, I do.
I think so, too.
Tell me
what you were calling in about tonight, so let's see what we can figure out what that has to do with.
Well, my first thought was to do something, to ask you about, like, money and work, but then I've heard you with your relationship advice, and now I would like to ask about that, because something I heard you and your co-host talk about were older women, younger men.
Right.
I'm involved with someone who is 9 years younger than I am.
Okay.
Not too bad. I'm 34 going on 35. He's 25 going on 26.
Okay.
His name is Dion, and I am wondering where this is headed.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say to you, because I'm a fellow female, so kudos on getting the younger guy, okay?
Thank
See,
you.
It's not cool. We always tease people when the younger women are going out with the older men. But when we can get a guy 9 years younger, 10 years younger, it's like, oh, that's a good thing, right? And I'm teasing you about that. You know that. But it is a good thing. It means also that you're young at heart. Now, let me ask you this question, and I will answer that, but I want to ask you this question. You are dating him. How long have you been dating?
Okay, 3 months, but I wouldn't really say dating.
You're kind of hanging out.
Something like that. It's one of those things where we have this intense intellectual, very stimulating connection and a lot of conversation. He is living in Louisiana, actually, and I'm in California. However, I am living very close to where he grew up.
Okay.
Yes. And he's planning a visit or something soon. I just don't know when. So I'm kind of like, this is someone I've met before. We've never dated, but something is happening. We are involved and we speak in terms of loving relationship. It's just not, I mean, obviously we're not in the same place.
Right.
So I'm wondering just what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
No, that's okay. Did you want to say something else before?
No. Okay. I just want to listen.
Okay. All right. So this is the first thing I'm getting from him. I'm getting that he's come out of a relationship, and I guess you're aware of this, correct?
Yes.
Yes,
okay. I am.
And so you know that there's going to be some trust issues for him. You're aware of that?
Yes.
Has he told you this? Okay.
He doesn't need to tell me.
You
the
know
thing
it.
Is, I know it. I just know that.
Okay. All right. So he's going to be dealing with these trust issues for a little bit longer. And because of that, he's going to come to you in a very non-committal way. It's going to be like, and I don't want to say this the wrong way, but I'm going to say it because we all know I say it anyway. I'm not friends with benefits, and I'm not saying it the wrong way. I don't want you to take that the wrong way. He's going to be, like, committed but not committed, okay? So he's going to come on like, we're friends, let's hang out, let's see what happens, you know. He's going to be very lackadaisical about it. But at the same time, he's going to be testing. There's going to be a lot of little tests he's going to throw out in front of you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When he does that, he's waiting to see how you pass each one of his little tests. And I don't want you to jump through too many hoops before you kind of call him on it and say, hey, here's the thing. I am not one of your past relationships, and trust is not going to be an issue, and I can't have you coming into a relationship with me, whether it's friends with the possibility of something more or not, with you constantly questioning my trust. And so, because I feel like this is going to become an issue. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So I want you to make sure that you call him on that pretty soon in the relationship so that it doesn't become, you know, a little pebble doesn't turn into a boulder down the road.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of important. Now, I see, and I know you're going to deny this immediately, but I'm going to throw it out there because I know that it's true. You want to fall in love and you want to get married again.
Well, I've never been married in this lifetime, but yes, I'd love to.
Okay.
Yes.
That's your goal. I mean, I can see it. And the thing is, there are a lot of women who will say, oh, I don't want to get married. I don't ever want to get married. I don't want to get married again. I just want to have a great relationship. But you're one of those few people that absolutely want to get married. You want to be in a loving, committed relationship that's got the vows of marriage built into it. And I think that's a really good thing. I also see that it is something that's scheduled for your future. I don't see you getting married again, though, or getting married at all for at least 3 years. I see that it's 3 years coming, okay?
Okay.
Which is not a bad thing, you know? That's not a bad thing. I do see something else, too. Tell me about this. You're the one everyone takes advantage of, right? Because I'm seeing you're a very generous person.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm seeing that you're very generous and that people have a tendency to take advantage of you all the time, and almost to the point where they take advantage, of your generosity.
Right.
Is this true?
Mm-hmm. Well, boundaries, yes. I'm learning how to say, no, I can't be there for you. I will not be there for you.
Bingo. And this
is
critical. So what they're saying is don't turn your sweet nature, okay, into the person who's taken advantage of all the time. Because the truth is, when you spread yourself too thin, there's not enough of you for anybody. And then, you're unhappy too, right?
That's true. That is
so
very
true. That's the message that I'm being told to give you right now is don't spread yourself too thin. Being generous with your time, with your ability to watch other people's kids or whatever the case may be, I want you to be really, really, because I somehow sense that, I really want you to be cognizant of the fact that if you spread yourself too thin, you're not going to be any good to anybody at all. So you really do need to set your perimeters, like you said, and learn to say no, because saying no doesn't mean I don't care for you or I don't want to help you at some point in the future. Saying no means that I can't do this right now, today, or tomorrow in my life because I simply don't have the time. Because you have to respect yourself too, you know, to give yourself the time that you need to do the things that you need to do.
I'm doing that. I'm taking a lot of time for myself at the moment, especially doing a lot of writing and journaling and clearing my house, being it like actually cleaning the house, reorganizing the cabinets and scrubbing things, to just clearing my head of a whole lot. Like I know today is the beginning of Lent, and instead of giving up something superficial like martinis or chocolate, forget that, I'm giving up fear.
Oh, God bless you.
That's what I'm
wonderful.
Doing. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
That's what I'm doing, and including especially, I mean, I've had my concerns over this man, but I'm relaxing because, I know his mother really likes me.
Okay.
And she, I don't believe, has any idea that we have talked romantically. And maybe she doesn't need to know in this moment, but, you know, I know that she does like me. Like, and I know that he and I follow astrology, and our charts are so strikingly similar, even down to whatever planet, like the same planets that are transiting my houses are transiting his houses at the moment.
Really?
It's really eerie. Yeah. It's kind of scary. I'm like, wait, I thought that was my chart. No, that's his. Okay.
That's his. Yeah. See, that's good. And the other thing that you mentioned that I thought was really important is a strong intellectual connection with him, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And that's
it's
really
very strong.
That's so important because, you know, I mean, having the chemistry, sure, that's important, but you have to be able to sit and have an in-depth conversation because if all you have is the chemistry, it's going to burn bright and then burn out.
Oof, yeah.
Right? Sounds like
yes.
You might have been there once before.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I have. I wonder if he is, I know he's planning a trip here, but I'm not sure when. I wonder if, since this is where he grew up, I wonder if he's trying to relocate.
I don't think he's planning on relocating now, but he is planning on a trip. Has he told you that he's thinking about the end of May, beginning part of June?
He hasn't said. All he said is you have a while, I guess, to prepare.
Okay. Well, this is what I will tell you. He is not planning to relocate, but what he is thinking about, he's looking at his opportunities.
Okay.
He's basically kind of testing the waters a little bit. If he comes back, he's not sure if he's going to like it there. And you would be a big part of him coming back.
Okay, that makes sense. Because I can't force anybody, and I'm not going to put it out there consciously, but psychically, it would be nice to have him here. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Okay, I will do that, because it would be really nice.
I mean, I'm a big believer in manifesting. I think God gives us the ability to put our desires out there, and if it's the right thing, and it's what should happen to us, and then those desires can be met, so I'm a big believer in that, absolutely. So definitely don't hesitate to put that out to the universe.
I think that's
a good thing to do. All right, well, I will say a prayer
thank
for
you.
Thank you
very
much. I really enjoyed talking to you, so thank you so much for calling in tonight, okay?
Thank you for being there. Thanks.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. You have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, now I'm going to take, I think her name is Suzanne, and she's been, I think, in the chat room, and I hope I've got her. Let me see if I can get her. Is this Suzanne?
Yes, hi, it is. Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. I think you have been waiting, haven't you? Were you in the chat room?
Yes, I was waiting. I couldn't get through to the phones.
Great. Are
busy.
You Little Bear?
I am.
Are you the one? Okay, great. You know, my producer kept sending me these messages through. You have to take this. It's really important. So I wanted to make sure I got you before the show went off the air tonight. How can I help you tonight?
Well, I have a son who just turned 10, and separated my son. We're divorced now a long, long time, my ex-husband, and he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing for residential custody, and a lot of this was a setup, and he didn't even try to set me up more, and he got the residential custody, and I think he's trying to alienate my son from me and make like him and his girlfriend, who he's not even married to, is one big happy family, and how I'm the mean one, and I don't know if I'm ever going to get the residential custody back. I think I am, and I don't know where this is going. I never had the money for attorney. Now I have one, but he's expensive. I don't know what anymore.
Okay. So you currently have a good attorney, right?
Yeah, but the problem is I don't even know if he can represent me because I didn't pay him in full. So now my ex went in contempt of the visitation, so I'm going to try to go on Monday to get at least that fixed up, just, you know, at least fill out the paperwork myself and go to the law library and do that. But he just tries to say, you know, that this counselor that talks to my son is against me, which she is, and it's like a setup almost.
Well, you feel like everyone's working against you and that you don't have a chance because you feel like financially you can't fight the same way your ex fought to get him, correct?
Correct. And I think he's trying to alienate him. And in my heart, I feel he's going to come back, but I just don't know when.
All right, here's the one thing I'm going to tell you, and you know this better than anyone, and you're going to see it with your son as well. Children are amazing, amazing, bright little creatures. Okay, and I say this because it's not the first time I've heard this kind of thing happening.
I don't know his dad.
Well, no, believe me, I know people, I've dealt with people who have literally gone to extremes where they've left the country with the children. But I will tell you this, I do know that a child can always tell when a parent still loves them, and they do not take on what the other parent is saying. In other words, you know, yeah, well, if he's bringing him up and saying terrible things about you, will he start to think that way? He'll question it, but you do get some exposure to him.
Yeah,
you,
I do. It's
you
not
are
that
getting
I just,
exposed to him.
Right. Different. I see a difference because my ex called the police on me for no reason 3 times. He was wrong with the visitation and called the police, says I wasn't giving him, but it was my weekend. He kept my son on the phone for 2 hours, and now then he took him to the counselor, and they were against me and stuff, and I tried to tell my part, and the counselor said I was lying, and I wasn't. Long story short, since then, my son's, like, barely hugging me. When we're on the phone, he used to say, I love you. Now he doesn't, so there is a change.
Well, and I don't want you to force him to say, Mommy, I love you. I don't want you to force him to say that,
okay,
because then you'll be playing into their hands. What you have to do is to show him unconditional love. What you have to do is to let him know that when he's with you, you're not going to allow these other issues, as hard as that's going to be, to come into the environment that you are with him. You've got to show him that you've got time for him. And believe me, you know, all the money in the world can't make up for time, okay? There's nothing that money can buy that you can't make up for with good, solid one-on-one time with your son. So when he's with you, do not allow your ex to push your buttons, because that's one of the things that I see happens a lot. He's always trying to push your buttons because he knows how he can make you react and shed you in a poor light, put you in a poor light. Do you know
yes.
what I'm talking about? Okay.
Oh, my God, all the time.
Okay, well, he knows what he's doing. He's a master manipulator. I get that. But I also get that he's been successful at that because you have been, you know, it's kind of like when he pushes, you push back. Do you know what I'm saying? You got to stop, because here's the thing. When you're with your son, you have to have one-on-one quality time with your son and not allow the craziness that your husband's trying to put upon you into that quality one-on-one time. Now, when you're not with your son, you keep fighting, and don't you ever, ever give up. Do you hear me? Do not ever give up. Because after a while, your son is going to start to recognize some things. Is your son around 10 years old? Is that where am I getting this from?
Yeah, I just told you that. Yep.
Okay, good. So your son's about 10 years old. All right. So he's at 10 years old. He's bonding with his dad, but his dad is an extremely controlling person. Correct?
Yes. That's good. That's something. But yes, very. Wow. Very.
Okay. Not only is he controlling, but he's very good at putting people down. The girlfriend that he's with, she's a little younger than him.
Yeah, puts people down all the time.
Yeah, and he does to the girl he's with too. By the way, the girlfriend.
But she stays with him for a long time now.
Well, she might, but let me tell you something. She's eventually going to move on. She is not going to stay with him. This is not his. She's not going to be with him long term. This will not be the woman he's with long term. Okay, just going to tell you.
When that happens.
I can't tell you when that's going to happen, but I know that 2 years from now she will no longer be in the picture.
What about my son?
Your son?
And me.
Well, you're going to have a relationship with your son, but it's really critical that you not lose your temper and not let him make you crazy, because that's exactly what he's trying to do. And every time you let him push your buttons, he wins. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Keep fighting. Keep using every available resource that you have, everything that you can get, everything that you can get from the county, everything that you can get from social services, everything that you can get, and keep fighting. Because what you need to be able to show your son is that you have never given up. And
I make more, you know, they don't just hand things over.
I know, and the problem is you fall into the cracks, don't you? Because you make too much for certain, right? Am I right? The money you have coming in doesn't allow you to be eligible for certain kinds of social programs, correct? So it makes
correct.
It really hard. And I get that, but at the same time, I also know that if you don't give up and you keep fighting, I can tell you that eventually, when you do not allow him to push your buttons and you don't give up, your son will by want to come live with you.
You know, when that will be, who knows?
Honestly, I'm seeing it's going to be also about 3 years.
Oh, my God, that's so long.
I know, but I'm not going to lie to you, and I won't tell you something I don't see. But you still have a relationship with him during that time.
Do you see anything good for me, like a boyfriend and marriage? I've been divorced 9 years now, and a new job. I'm going back to school for dental assisting.
Well, I see the medical part that you're doing is a positive thing for you. I do not see that you're going to get married between now and 3 years from now. But I do see a constant companion coming into the picture, but I don't see that for about close to 2 years. So that companion that comes into the picture, it's going to be about 2 years from now. But then that person will be your constant companion, and it will eventually turn into marriage, but it's almost going to be like you don't want to rush into it, because for you, just knowing that that person's there is enough for you. Putting it on a marriage certificate is probably the least important thing for you. You just want to know that person's going to have your back and not try to manipulate you and control you.
So I guess there's no more children for me then.
I'm going to tell you that I don't see any children in the picture right now. That doesn't mean that some won't come down the road, but I'm not seeing them right now. Now, that doesn't mean that that can't change, because free will is everything.
Older.
I'm sorry?
I'd have to adopt because I'm older. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm too old.
Okay.
But maybe you can give me the assistant job?
The dental assistant job is going to happen, and you will be working in that industry, absolutely.
But you don't know when?
I can't tell you when. I mean, no, I cannot. I'm not being given a time on when the dental assistant job is going to come through, and I won't tell you something that I don't absolutely see. But what I can tell you is within 2 years you will have a constant companion. That person will stay with you. Whoever that person is will stay with you. Probably at the 6, 7, 8 year mark, want to get married. You may actually do that then. But you're going to be really big on wanting to make sure that this person doesn't want to control you, because that's the most you've been through too much. You've just been through too much. And I do see that your son is going to have an opportunity to get back to you within the next 3 years. And I don't want to cut you short, but we're running. The show's going to be going off the air. So I want to thank you for calling, okay? Thank you so much for calling in. All right, everybody, listen, thank you so much for calling in the show tonight. This has been the Christian Psychic Cafe with Dr. Ginny, and my co-host
is Jessica.
And we want to thank you all for calling in. Don't forget to go to the chat room or go to the website and let us know which show you'd like to hear next week, the differences of why younger women are dating older men and why, or when one door closes and another opens, how to recognize opportunity. So go ahead and sound off in our chat room. Let us know, or go to the website, drginny.com, and you can find all the information on our show there. Also, if you have any suggestions, please feel free to contact us via email through drginny.com as well. It's been a pleasure talking to you all tonight. We'll talk to you next Wednesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Psychic Christian Net. Thank you.
Dedicated to all the girls around the world.
I'm
Mr. Dre, but I'm shocking with the company of San Mateo.